He's the voice of the valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
It is, what the heck time is it here? 6:34 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon on this Wednesday morning. And Rich Ross is Red Hook Boat Club in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Robbie. Thanks for having me down today.
You're welcome, and thanks for, you know, making the drive down to Fishkill to be with us. And I wanted you in early, you know, so that you are airing on all six of our stations up and down the valley. This issue on what I genuinely consider an illegal grab on the part of the Red Hook Town Board. And I have had officials who have, you know, served on town boards contact me, you know, also stating that the use of eminent domain, what the town, Red Hook Town Board, is attempting to do to seize this property, private property has been owned by the club for, what, about 70 years? 78 years is an illegal use of, improper use, perhaps, is a better way of saying it. Not what eminent domain is intended to be used for. Maybe if it's, you know, to put a, you know, a roadway through an area and there's no other way to do it. This is nothing more than, in my very firm opinion, that a couple of individuals on that town board, you know, just for whatever reason, whether it's associated with Bard College, you fill in the blanks here, Rich.
Sure, that's absolutely right, Tom. You know, eminent domain was created for infrastructure, utilities, roadways,
absolutely,
as you mentioned. Condemned buildings, you know, perhaps 18 inches of your front lawn because we want to expand, or we need to expand sidewalks for public use.
Yes.
You know, they're kind of weaponizing and using justification in taking the Red Hook Boat Club by citing and referencing the local waterfront revitalization plan, which has been adopted since 1993. You know, our town supervisor is claiming residents of Red Hook have not had access to the water in well over 100 years. And it's like, okay, so why all of the sudden are you stating there's this demand, this
right,
need that we've got to have it? It's not a need. It's a want of the government. And interestingly enough, you know, communities, not just Red Hook and surrounding areas, but far and wide, you know, I'm getting emails and phone calls from Long Island,
mm-hmm,
out through Buffalo, New York, stating, you know, this is the incorrect usage of eminent domain. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about this, you know, local municipalities, local governments are closely watching. And, you know, what they're in tune with is, you know, if Red Hook, the governing body of Red Hook, can use eminent domain or weaponize eminent domain to take private property in this action, you know, what's next?
Absolutely.
Private property owners across this state, you know, can fall vulnerable to government wants. And that's just, that's not okay with the concerned residents.
No. And interesting. If I go back to, Kalo versus the city of New London, the Supreme Court case, and I had forgotten this part of it, that was a 5-4 decision. It's one of the worst Supreme Court decisions ever, in my opinion. And the fact that, you know, a majority opinion written by Justice Stevens interpreted public use broadly to include economic development plans that benefit the community, according to the Federal Society. So, but again, there, if you go back to that case, it was Pfizer Pharmaceutical wanted that to build a corporate building. That was not in the, there were lots of other places they could have built that building. And that was not its only place that it could have been cited.
That's right. That's an interesting case there. And let me tell you why. For the listeners out there, you can do a little homework and do a little, or search the Little Pink House. They interviewed this one particular individual. You know, it was their livelihood, everything, you know, born and raised there. And, of course, they tore down the house, cleared a city block, more or less, or a town block, removed all the homes, and that particular property sits vacant today.
Yes.
They never developed it.
That's what I said the other day, and I had not updated that. But the last I knew, that property, all these, you know, two and a half decades later, whatever it is, sits vacant, and they basically destroyed the people's lives. This reminded me, too, of something that happened here in Poughkeepsie going back years ago. We were talking about yesterday about urban renewal. And there was a case... And again, this probably was a legitimate use of eminent domain because they were putting the arterial, east-west arterial through Poughkeepsie. And when you came west to east over the Mid-Hudson Bridge and how Church Street used to be aligned there and the different, I think, Union Street, Church Street, I think there was a fork in the road right there. And there was a bookstore called Lindmark's Bookstore. And... by 1945, Lindmark had over 300,000 books that were said to be valued at $2 million. They used eminent domain to seize that property, but in doing so, they only paid him a pittance of what it was worth, and in terms of even him trying to relocate that, they wound up condemning the building, dumping all of those 300,000 books out in the street to be ruined. The government did this. I mean, this is, in my mind, this is a horror story. Understand that they needed that property to realign the road. I get that. But they should have made every effort to assist him in relocating it and paying the fair share of you know, what it actually cost to relocate. And this, why am I mentioning this? Because in this instance, with the Red Hook Boat Club, in terms of, well, we're going to seize this and we're going to tell you what we're going to pay for it.
That's correct. You know, in this particular situation, this kind of parallels the story you just mentioned. You know, the onus, the responsibility is on the government or the taking body, if you will,
yes,
to help relocate and in addition to that, do a fair analysis of inventory and potential other sites that are out there that can be developed.
Right.
You know, in this particular situation, this same local waterfront revitalization plan from 1993 cites three other potential areas as providing access to the Hudson River up in northern Dutchess County, Red Hook, New York. One of them happens to border our property. This same parcel that's mentioned in this plan was sold within the last 5 years. And citing this waterfront revitalization plan, it specifically states, if one of these properties comes for sale, you should purchase it. Well, the town slept on it. It was sold for $3 million. And now a gentleman, nice gentleman, lives there and, you know, has renovated the house, has beautiful views and access to the river, things of that nature. But there's an additional two more.
Mm-hmm.
One is just to the north of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then further up the way is Tivoli, New York, which is a hamlet.
Yes.
Lies within the township of Red Hook.
Yep.
They do have access to the water. They have a real plan on file with the state, secured funding. And what they're asking is the partnership with the town of Red Hook to develop their waterfront.
Right.
And the town is saying, nope, you've got your plan, we've got ours. So to tie that back into the bookstore and things of that nature, yes, you have to provide fair market compensation. But prior to that, you know, you really need to do an inventory.
Absolutely.
Of what's out there.
Absolutely.
And seek alternatives before you condemn, you know, a parcel.
And Rich Russ, what is your position with the Red Hook Boat Club?
So I am the commodore of the Red Hook Boat Club, which parallels the president of any other organization. It's you know, the marine or nautical terminology for, you know, the ranking, if
yes,
you will. I got into this position about 5 years ago, and reluctantly, I you know, I'm busy with work and family and everything else, like everybody, you know. And I said, I find somebody else. But they said, you're the great candidate for the job. And I'll be honest with you, Tom, for the most part, things run very smooth. You know, there's a real sense of pride and community. This little Red Hook Boat Club, made up of 100 members, you know, it has heart, it has soul. People just, you know, it's a place to get together.
And it's a working boat club.
It's a working boat club, that's right.
So I assume, like many of the other ones, people have to put in a certain number of hours a year to maintain things?
That's right, yep. Yeah. You get your work hours by mowing the lawn, you know, cleaning the bathrooms,
right,
buildings, grounds, so on, right, and so forth, yes.
Right. Going back many years ago, I used to belong to the Chelsea Yacht Club down here, and we had to put in, I don't know, 40 hours, whatever sure. it was, exactly to the point that you talk about. Let's take a quick break. And Rich Ross, Commodore Red Hook Yacht Club, in studio with me. Much more to talk about this. And this is a very important issue. And as Rich just spoke about, this has implications, you know, to things way beyond this boat club.
Absolutely.
Back in May on the Beacon.
Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
6:47 on Hudson Valley Focus. Talk about the Red Hook Boat Club and the. We wanted to talk about establishing value, Rich Ross.
Sure. So value, in terms of eminent domain, from an appraisal standpoint, valuation of a property or a parcel is much different than, let's say, if you were to privately sell your home.
Right.
You know, when you sell your home, an appraiser comes in, they look at, okay, your furnace is going to need replacement, your shingles, they're probably going to need replacement too. So that takes into account the number value, right?
Yes.
When eminent domain, when the action of eminent domain comes into play and you get into appraisals, you look at the highest and best usage. So it's not necessarily how it sits today. It could be, since we're a boat club, it should be considered to the valuation of, let's say, a marina or condos or something, two single one-family homes, you know. Those are things that play a large factor mm-hmm. into valuation. And what's interesting about this story, earlier this year, the town passed an amendment to zoning laws which banned marinas. And, you know, it's like, okay, on the face value, I looked and I said, well, I don't necessarily have a problem with banning marinas because we're not a marina. You know, we're simple boaters. We're in the morning, out in the evening. Maybe we go down for a picnic. You know, it's nothing to the capacity of marina, which has wet slips, pump outs, mm-hmm, fuel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Service of goods, things, so on and so forth. You could use your imagination there. So we're much different than that. I didn't have a problem. But, you know, we talked to a few members in the club and the organization and said, you know what, I think it's a good idea if we have a legal set of eyes, you know, take a look at this amendment to the zoning law.
Yes.
And gentleman William Hurst, young summer out of Troy, New York, took a look at it for us. He said, you know, something just looks off with this. It smells off, but I can't place it. You know, he said we should further investigate because, interestingly enough, this doesn't align with the Department of State's waterfront revitalization plan, which encourages access to the water and usage and boating and things of that nature. He said, you know what, we should really look further into this. Well, fast forward a couple months, next thing you know, the town of Red Hook and our town supervisor, Robert McKeon, is coming after the boat club through the process of eminent domain
right.
and has already precluded the highest and best usage of a marina from a valuation standpoint.
So Bard College has purchased the Unification Church property, which is adjacent to.
That's correct. It's adjacent. It's you know, there's a small parcel that separates us, and of course the railroad tracks.
And so there seems to be indication that, you know, Bard College, perhaps working with the town of Red Hook, wants to be able to seize private property that dates back to basically the end of World War II, when World War II vets came home and took a defunct piece of waterfront property and worked their butts off to clean it up.
That is absolutely correct. So, you know, I can't pinpoint it and grab onto proof that supports that, but, you know, I'm pretty dialed in and connected with the community of Red Hook,
sure.
and everyone is raising that same question. What is Bard's affiliation connection to this taking of the Red Hook Boat Club?
Right.
Because we're just a stone's throw down the way from this Unification Church, the new Bard College campus. So it raises a lot of concerns. And, you know, one thing that we've been screaming from the mountaintops about this specific site is a safety concern for the community and potential students, things like that. We've got, on our northern bulkhead, we've got 45 feet of water and a swift current. For those unfamiliar with the river, it's not to be underestimated, the power of the mighty Hudson. It is not a good place to launch kayaks, canoes. We don't even allow swimming at our boat club. So it truly presents with some dangers.
Yes.
You know, it's a small parcel, 2.38 acres, and it's divided in a northerly southerly direction by a 25-30 foot cliff. So, you know, it's not a true 2.38 acre parcel that is flat.
Right.
It's got its own challenges that we're aware of, and we know how to navigate and work around these things because it's generations before us that have figured out the oddities that it takes to make this place go, you know, go round.
Well, this really caught my attention. I've said many times on these airwaves that, you know, when I was born, we lived in downtown Poughkeepsie before the North-South Arterial was put in. I could walk with my older brothers down to the, you know, to the Hudson River and watch the Dutton Lumber Company ships unload. You know, probably by the time I was 5 years old, we were, you know, swimming in the river up where Marist College is. Back then, it was the Marist Brothers. And by the time I was 10 years old, learning to water ski off the docks at the Cornell Boathouse. And, you know, I was at the Chelsea Yacht Club, but then kept a boat up at Norrie Point. So for the last 70 plus years, this river is, you know, part of me, as it is for the, you know, the history of, you know, this entire region. But this idea that, you know, Rich Ross, the point that you made about other parcels having been identified a number of years ago and not acted on, and now in this, and it does genuinely seem, with this information about Bard College acquiring the Unification Church as property adjacent to this, that there's a real motivation. I would hope that this will, you know, really push forward call people's attention to this. You have an open invitation to come back and give us regular updates as to what's happening here. The references I saw in the paper about the numbers of people who have shown up at the town hall meetings previously. There was an article, or one of the current board members said, well, we're only exercising the will of the people. Well, mob rule does not override the rights of individual property owners. This is supposedly America, and that the rights of property owners to own property are not superseded by mob rule. But what was the tone? What has the tone been from the people who have shown up at these meetings?
So yes, we had our public hearing. It was Friday, May 15th, 16th. I'd have to look back. It's 15th or 16th. There were well over 550 residents of Red Hook and extending communities that were present.
Yes.
100 speakers got up. Everybody spoke in opposition to this action.
Eminent domain.
That's correct.
So how the hell is the town board saying we're exercising the will of the people?
So this is where it just gets out of line for me. You know, the town has communicated that they've had a lot of emails and phone calls of residents that are in support of this, but they're afraid to come out and publicly express the want to have access in this public park on the waterfront. Now, here's where things get even more interesting, in my opinion. The final vote, a 3-2, is a narrow 3-2 vote, mm-hmm. near split, occurred last Tuesday, mm-hmm. at the town board, Red Hook Town Hall. And, you know, on one hand, we had a member get up and say exactly what I just mentioned, a lot of residents spoken out, afraid to speak publicly. And then short bit later, another town council member says, I've read all the emails and spoken to a lot of residents, and I cannot find a lot of support for this action. So my question is, what's going on behind the closed doors? What are you guys discussing? You just both came out and said the complete opposite findings of support as far as this eminent domain, right. action is concerned.
Yep.
So there's a lot of conflicting stories going on here.
And it still wouldn't matter. You still cannot have mob rule.
Correct.
Take people's private property.
That's exactly right, Tom. Yeah, so it's concerning. Like I said, it's just growing wider and wider. We're trying to get some attention, as much attention and attraction on this as possible, because that's the concern. You know, if a local government gets this.
So let me, Rich Ross, take you back a number of years. Westchester County, New York. This would have been back during the Obama administration. HUD, Housing Urban Development, wanted to come in and override their local planning and zoning to mandate, you know, multifamily housing. This is a growing trend in areas of outside individuals, probably with the financial support of large real estate developers, wanting to seize property for their own financial gain. This is not just about the Red Hook Boat Club. And I just don't know how to express that to individuals to understand the gravity of this situation.
That's exactly right. So part of the eminent domain proceeding, you know, the town presents its findings. They use a coastal assessment form, or your seeker, your environmental assessment forms, so on and so forth. It was they gave their proposal to the Red Hook Town Planning Board. The planning board sat down. It was a pleasure to attend their meetings, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. because they had open discussion. They raised concerns in public eye, public ears, and actually, you know, were receptive to community input. And they said, well, we don't know about the site. Tell us a little bit more.
Right.
And, long story short, they found 6 inconsistencies with the town's action of taking the parcel through eminent domain. And the town of Red Hook has more or less looked at it, their 6 inconsistencies, and said, well, those are your opinions. We can still move forward. And in this particular situation, the law states, you know, if there's more than one inconsistency, the plan is found to be inconsistent with the waterfront revitalization
right.
plan. And one more point I think is should be added into that. Going back to this 1993 LWRP, there is a major identifying segment in there that states, you know, accomplishing access to the Hudson River should not infringe or compete with existing practices. So in this particular situation,
exclamation point,
we're getting rid of an existing practice,
right.
organization, deep-rooted history, World War II veterans removing bulk, cleaning up a bulk oil depot.
Exactly. So, Rich Ross, how do folks contact you through the club to find out more, to offer support?
Best way is to go to the club's website, redhookboatclub.com, and there's an email link on there, info@rhbc@gmail.com. And, we're just trying to get the word out there. And it is small town Red Hook, but it extends much wider than here.
There's no question in my mind about that. And as I say, why I've tried to ring the alarm bells on this is having followed the Kalo Supreme Court case for more than 20 years now. And as I've seen the further encroachment on our rights and freedoms, it's time that we, put the stake in the ground.
Yeah, you have to. Enough's enough.
Rich Ross, to you and I guess in memory of all those individuals who came back from the Greatest Generation worked to clean up that site, let's follow this issue forward.
There's a legacy here.
Thank you very much. Quick break on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Lots to do this morning, so refresh those beverages. Meet me back here in a minute on The Beacon.